Yeah.
We got David Duke in the house.
So you've been banned on all these platforms, so everybody else gets to tell us, like, who you are. So the whole point of having you come on the show, I want to know who you were from you, directly from your mouth.
Well, thank you for that. Mm-hmm.
So you established the Klan in 74?
Yeah, I got involved in a Klan that already existed. It was the Knights of the KKK. Mm-hmm. And it was done by a very fine person.
So you've never been a part of any lynchings or anything?
Oh,
like
God.
That.
No.
Like, all I know is what I see on, like, Hollywood TV. Representation of the Klan.
Did you say I know about the Klan is what I've been taught?
You had to see Black KKK Klansman, Spike Lee's movie, huh?
I can't stand that nigga. I can't stand it.
When I ran for office and I got elected to office 2-3 times, my slogan was equal rights for all, special privilege for none. And I said, unless we stop this immigration, it was going to be bad news for all the American people, blacks, whites, everybody else that's in the country.
It's before your time, David.
Well, maybe it was the great replacement theory. It's not great replacement theory. It's great replacement fact. It's happened.
Yeah,
right.
Country. Even blacks have been replaced. We used to be number two in this country.
That's exactly right. Even blacks have been replaced. That's a really good point.
I had a father in my home, but I didn't really notice at the time, but none of my black friends had fathers. And a lot of them today, they're all in jail.
This is a Christian country. And if you go to any bookstore or you just turn on the movies, you see so many movies that really just rip Christianity and even rip Christ.
Right.
There's one Nazi state. And it's really Israel.
Back in your young days when you was with the Klan, were you like sexually attracted to black women?
No, I never was.
No?
I was always partial to white girls.
We got a gift for you. You probably don't need it.
It's the N-word pass.
N-word pass.
You want to put your hood up?
I won't need this pass because I never use it. Now, are you telling me I should start?
Yeah, welcome to episode 42.
Now you sound like Quincy Jones.
We got David Duke in the house.
How you doing, David? Thanks for coming.
I'm doing great. And I've been listening to as many shows. I didn't get introduced to your program until I found I was going to be on.
Oh, really?
And then I started.
Like, oh, shit, some black guys.
I don't have any problem with that, you know?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And you're definitely proud of your black. You just mentioned the first thing, you know?
Well, I'm not black. I'm Irish.
Well, that's right. Black and Irish, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, so you've been banned from YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. So, like,
and,
so everybody
and
else.
Credit card processing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Okay.
Right? So, I'm not allowed to use money. You know, I don't have the right to use money to sell my books.
Mm-hmm. Because of your
opinions. The internet, because if you can't do that, you can't get a credit card.
Right.
How do you use the internet? I mean, this is the biggest repression in the history of the world. I mean, nobody even in the Middle Ages could keep somebody from using gold.
David, what act, what legislation enabled the government the right to do that to Americans?
There's a lot of things that did that. One of the worst acts politically was the so-called Citizens United Act in 2010, 2011. Mm-hmm. And that was actually done by the Supreme Court, and it was just total violation. It got rid of any campaign financing rules. It enabled anybody to give as much money as they want. However, the middle class people can't afford attorneys and set up corporations and all. They still limited to $2,000 or $3,000, whatever it is, you know, campaign financing. Mm-hmm. But the people that have a lot of power, a lot of the billionaires, they can give hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. If you believe in democracy or so-called democracy or rule of the people, it's one man, one vote.
Right.
But we know that dollars mean votes. Mm-hmm. And another thing we know is that TV commercials can make the most evil bastard in the world look like a pure, you know.
Yeah, they did that with Kamala.
Saint. Well, I agree with you on
that. They even made her look black.
Funny.
I don't even think she's black, but anyway. So you've been banned on all these platforms, so everybody else gets to tell us, like, who you are. So the whole point of having you come on the show, I want to know who you were from you, directly from your mouth.
Well, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to, I do believe that the foundation of all our freedoms, even our existence, because without free speech and without the right to not only speak, but also to hear the people that aren't speaking, to hear different points of view, they can get away with anything. They can get away with killing you. They can get away with total tyranny. They can get away with torturing you. They can get away with taking all your possessions. Right. And so free speech is the ultimate right. And now another thing, free speech, of course, is First Amendment of the Constitution.
Yeah, first for a reason.
I don't want to get all these technicalities.
Right.
Who knows anything about the Constitution these days, especially your own people.
Right.
But freedom of speech is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But also another amendment that's very important, too. It's the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution. And that is an amendment. It's basically about if you are accused of a terrible offense, mm-hmm. or, in fact, you can be charged with a crime. It's the same principle. In other words, we have a value system that everybody, if they can charge you with murder, they can charge you with pederasty or, you know, child molestation, terrible mm-hmm. crimes, which I think they should be punished with the ultimate act of the law of mm-hmm. somebody that does that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they have these, you know, laws, but what the Sixth Amendment says is that you have the right to a fair and impartial jury, which means, by the way, the jury or the legal system should not be biased against you in the sense
right.
that so they could judge you honestly. And you also have the right to a public trial.
Right.
A public trial. So even a murderer is accorded those rights.
Right.
And that's really vital, not only from the standpoint of government, but it's the standpoint of individuals.
Yeah, everybody should have the right to confront.
That's right. Jesus. We should all be able to defend ourselves. And really the truth is that the ability to defend yourself, your position, your family, your heritage, your people, mm-hmm. your country, whatever you think your point of view
mm-hmm.
is a vital right. And it's the only good way to real progress, whether it be scientific, whether it be about nutrition. I look at you guys, how healthy you are, strong mm-hmm. you are,
mm-hmm.
and I know you probably have ideas about nutrition like I have.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to be bigger, but I've lost about 30 pounds with some cancer treatment, but mm-hmm. I'm doing better. I had some lymph node cancer. But here's what I believe. I believe that big money and big power and the ability to censor has told us to eat the wrong foods.
Right. Yeah.
They've taught us the wrong lifestyle.
Right.
They haven't talked about the real things that make up a human being's true sovereignty mm-hmm. and rights. And they also are able today to affect our minds in a way that we're losing the sovereignty
mm-hmm.
of yeah. the human mind. I'll give an example. We've got Google. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to talk a lot here about what I call Jewish supremacy. Mm-hmm. Which is a term that's being used by many Jews today. In fact, B'Tselem is the human rights group in Israel.
Right.
And they talk about Jewish supremacism and Jewish supremacy.
Dan Bazzirian was just on Piers Morgan. He used that terminology a lot.
Yeah, he used it. Yeah. And he's a good guy. I think he's honest. And we'll talk about it. That interview was interesting because mm-hmm. Piers Morgan is such a creep. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, everything that he disagreed with Dan on, he just called him a Nazi. That's not like a valid argument.
Of course, it's not an argument.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you know, ironic about how that the incredible hypocrisy of these people is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so Jewish supremacy, the reason why we have the genocide mm-hmm. going on in Gaza right now. And by the way, the recent UN report stated that, listen to this, the biggest single demographic rate of death are kids between the ages of 5 and 10 years old. That's the biggest age group that's dying.
Yeah. And these, I want to point out one thing, too, that these kids that are dying that you're advocating for,
yeah,
they're not white.
Well, some of them are white, some of them aren't.
Right.
A lot of the Palestinians look like me. I've actually seen some. I've been there, and I've been to Israel. I've been around the world. I lectured, and by the way, I lectured in about 20 universities throughout the Middle East and many hundreds of universities across the world, invited by Muslim audiences. I'm invited by, obviously, Christian audiences, invited by universities.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it's still going on, but I only get that right now. I don't get that right in the United States. I lectured
Oh, we can't see it here in the U.S.
Yeah, I lecture at a couple of universities in America in my history, often for big events, small events. Mm-hmm. But it's like, but now that's not permitted. I've been on Meet the Press 3 times.
Right.
That's the leading talk show in America. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, I can go on the Hodge Brothers, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and you know what's weird about that? I feel it's like an ethnic cleansing genocide that's going on. Why do you think, like, when I go on Instagram and I see a lot of other conservative people like ourselves, and they're, like, mocking what's going on. Why do you think that's going on with Republicans and conservatives? Why do you think they fail to see that as a genocide?
Well,
and so-called Christians, yeah.
It's because... I'm going to say some things about Jews, but I'm going to be speaking. I don't, just like Bazarian said, he's not against all Jews.
Right.
He doesn't hate Jews, but he understands a lot about Jewish power.
Right.
And Jews have enormous power. And there's no group on earth that's more ethnocentric than these Jewish billionaires that have so much power. There's 52 major Jewish, or 51 actually, 52 major Jewish organizations in America called the Council of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, right? And every one, their mission statement is the advancement of the interest of the Jewish people and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, by the way, are for open borders for America, but Israel has absolute closed borders. It's a country for Jews.
Right. Why so many Christians, why so many Americans are so thick-headed? They don't see the hypocrisy.
Well, again, it's all because of how does your central nervous system work? How does your brain work? I mean, in many ways, we like to think about the sovereignty of the human mind.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, the mind is basically like a computer. If you don't, even though we're not computers, thank God, they're trying to get us to be transhuman.
Yeah, so the media is like conditioning us to think that that's okay what's going
on. Well, if you feed a bad information to a computer, you can't get any valid answers out. Now, Elon Musk said something very true when he talked about none other than Larry Page, one of the top people of Google.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got to understand what Google is. The people who run Google are Jewish supremacists, not just Jews. They're Jewish supremacists. The people that really own it are Sergey Brin and Larry Page. And one of the biggest other factors in it is a guy named Eric Schmidt. Sounds like an Englishman or an English name.
Right, yeah.
No, he's Jewish. And
did he change his name?
I don't know about his particular history. I know he's a Jew, and I know he's a Zionist. And I know one thing. He's in millions and millions of dollars of contracts, billions even for Google, with the Mossad in Israel. They're in contract with the Israeli state. They're part of this genocide. And they have the ability to affect your mind, and you don't even realize it.
Right, right.
But I'll give you an example. Now, I've got a cell phone here. I'm not going to turn it back on so we don't get your show disturbed. But so I got a cell phone here. And we now carry around a cell phone. Now, this is an Android phone, which is basically a Google product.
Your things listen to us.
Well, they are listening probably right now. Yeah. Who knows? But it's like, so how does this work? Okay, so they can track you anywhere.
Right.
That's how they sell their advertising. Right. They know what websites you're going to. They know what your political views are. They know what kind of clothes you like, or the colors of the clothes you like. They know whether you're a straight person or a homo. homosexual.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to do any slurs. If somebody wants to be that.
I always thought that, David, seriously, I always thought that term that you used was abbreviation for homosexual.
I think it is. I don't know why that should be a negative thing.
I got a
strike
for that.
Yeah.
I was like, what? That's a slur? It's abbreviated?
Well, let's edit that out then. We got to keep the strikes away from you guys.
Yeah, we just beep it.
Okay, that's fine. So, yes. So it's like people can do what they want. However, we know that some good studies have come out of Canada. Excuse if I get so scientific and historical.
No, that's
I'm a history PhD. I got, I've been studying history my life and studying this, so I get deep in the woods.
Right.
But I think I always talk in a way, though, that people can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we have to understand, there's been some great medical studies on homosexual behavior, especially among men, or so-called men, who are homosexuals.
Right.
And we know that 1 in 6 boys, mm-hmm. boys, are molested, often raped by homosexual males. That's wow. a fact.
That's an amazing statistic.
It's an amazing fact. I can show you the data from major research institutions. They got websites now. There's even a website. There's a website. It's called 1 in 6. It's all done by professionals and researchers. So if this is the case, and one of the reasons why is because homosexuals are very sexual active, I think
that's having, the horniest beast on this planet is a homosexual man. They will literally have sex with anything.
Yeah, anything at any time, anywhere.
Yeah.
But
like Freddie Mercury, that Queen singer.
We can't say all of them. We can't say that every one of them's that way.
Yeah, I'm not saying all of them, but well, I think you can say that.
Well, well, there's definitely a difference in the mores between homosexuals and heterosexuals. Mm-hmm. Maybe heterosexuals would have more of it, especially when they're in their prime.
Yeah. Right. Like Freddie Mercury, that guy from Queen, he was so gay, it killed him.
Well, yeah, that happens. and by the way, there's even been study, and again, I'm just trying to bash people here, but is a relationship between homosexual and people who are serial killers. Mm, yeah. There was a big study in New York, in fact, by a police officer, and they did all these studies, and they showed that homosexuals had a much higher percentage of being serial killers mm-hmm. than not homosexuals. Yeah. But the point is, raping a boy, a kid, you know, is terrible. Now, the Israeli army in the prisons, they got a video of Israeli guards raping Palestinian males, prisoners. Mm. In fact, it's on Israeli TV. People see Israeli TV is free.
It's on Israeli TV?
Yeah. Well, they blur out the mm-hmm. parts. Mm-hmm. But everybody in Israel knows about this. In fact, when they prosecuted these prison guards, mm-hmm. when this happened, mm-hmm. right? Listen to this. They didn't get upset at the prison guards committing such an offense. And these guys that they're raping aren't Palestinians. They're Palestinians, but they're not terrorists or anything like that. Right. And I don't even think most Gazans are. I think the Israeli army and the Israeli state is far more terrorist than Hamas is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give we'll give some facts about that in a minute that I can prove and easily show.
Well, they got the resources to do it. What does Palestinians have?
Well, first of all, but first of all, we got to realize that any sort of killing of civilians or people or children or whatever is very, very evil.
Right.
Okay, let's watch.
הנה הם מחוסות. הנה כאן קבוצה של חיילי המילואים מכוח 100, יחידה המשמשת להבטחת המתקן. הם לוקחים את המחבל, הנה הם כאן בפינת המתקן, כנראה מודעים למצלמות ההבטחה, ומנסים להסתיר מעשיהם במגינים. הצילום כולל תיעוד של העבירה מיוחסת לאנשי המילואים, מעשה סדום בנסיבות אינוס. שעות אחר כך, פונה המחבל לבית החולים, מדמם. הפציעות שלו הוגדרו מורכבות. הקביעה הרפואית חד משמעית.
Yeah. Well, but guess what? The Israel, including Knesset members, government, they came and they rioted because these rapists, torturers, really, to me, rape a male, for instance. And in fact, a lot of these people were raped by electric bars, and it's pretty disgusting to think about. And one of them was just about killed. And that's the reason why one of this was discovered, because the person was sent, almost died, they sent to the hospital, and then they realized that he was anally raped, you know. Right. So they give a line of them, and they film each other because they're proud of it, right?
Right.
So the Israelis, instead of saying, I hope you throw the book at these guys, you're giving Israel a bad name, mm-hmm. you're proving to the whole world the evil that's going on in mm-hmm. our country mm-hmm. and how this is not any sort of a value system that's for humanity. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing that, they had a riot to demand they got freed. In fact,
sounds like Black Lives Matter.
Well, whatever. I'll let you talk about that. But Yeah, I'm one of those terrible, terrible racists who actually believes all lives matter.
Right.
And I'm called a racist. I had a bill in the House of Representatives when I served there, and it passed my body, the House of Representatives in Louisiana, and it was pretty interesting because you know what the bill said? The bill said that that we cannot, you're not allowed to discriminate against someone on the basis of their sex, their race, mm-hmm. And that is against human rights. People should get the job that they're entitled to by their merit,
right.
And so the Black Caucus, as well as the Zionist controlled media, and it's the Zionist controlled media. We'll go into that in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. They said, oh. That's a racist bill. That's a racist bill. A bill that says you can't discriminate against someone
by their race.
Sounds
like we
need
a white caucus. If we got a Black caucus, we need a white caucus. Keep everybody even.
That's racist, right? Well, you know, there's 50. And going back to the – because I think the most important issue, just like Bilzerian said, you saw the Bilzerian mm-hmm. interview. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with Bilzerian. The greatest danger to the world is, first of all, not white supremacy, even though I'm not in favor of white supremacy. I'm not in mm-hmm. favor of exploitation mm-hmm. or any mm-hmm. sort of slavery or any sort of harm to anyone.
Well, that's a relief.
But of course, of course.
Right.
I mean, I'm a human rights activist. That's what I call myself. I don't even call myself a white nationalist, mm-hmm. even though I guess I'm a famous person in the world trying to say that we got to control our borders mm-hmm. and we have a right to preserve our heritage, just like every country does.
Yeah.
I mean, Turkey is 90% of Turkish origin, right? Mm-hmm. They have a few other things like Kurds and other people. But Turkey wants to remain Turkish,
right?
Greeks want to remain Greeks.
Right.
I mean, Aborigines, they celebrate their own people, right?
Right.
And I understand why the Indians resisted any migration mm-hmm. years ago. But centuries ago, mm-hmm. In the history of the world, it's only been in the last two or three centuries that people realize it's not right to go in and move to another country, take over your country, and enslave the people or hurt them or whatever, right?
Right, but that's what's happened in Israel.
What's happening as a
Yeah, they entered that area as refugees because of World War II, right?
Yeah.
And then they got there and was like, oh, thank you for helping us. We're going to form our own government and we're going to annihilate you people. It's pretty much what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah, but I would suggest to you, but you're right, they that was the excuse.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get something straight. Zionism mm-hmm. preceded National Socialism in Germany. I want you to think about that for a second. And there is no more, and this is a shocking thing, and I want you to keep your channels, but you can beep any of this you want. That's fine. Just give me a good record for my record so I know what I said, mm-hmm. right? That's all I want. Just give me the raw data here. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that there is no more racist, anti-human ideology on the planet. And this is going to be a shocking for a lot of people mm-hmm. because you hear this all the time. The problem isn't Judaism. It's Zionism. Mm-hmm. Judaism is part and parcel of Israel. In fact, the Judaistic religion controls the immigration policy in Israel, controls the marriage policy in Israel.
Yeah.
And Judaism, the chief Sephardic rabbi is kind of like almost equivalent to the Pope. He's the most respected Jewish thing. He did a broadcast of the whole country of Israel, mm-hmm. and this is no joke. I mean, you can go to you can look it up right now. Just pull it up from the Jerusalem Post, mm-hmm. Rabbi Yosef, mm-hmm. Yosef, who says the only purpose of Gentiles is to serve Jews. I mean, this is the chief Jewish rabbi of Israel.
I want to ask you this: like Jews, not only was kicked out of Germany. Or they tried to take them out of Germany. Wherever they've been throughout the beginning of time, they've been banished,
housed.
Well, yeah, I did. I saw a report where when you talk about kingdoms, of course, most countries and most mm-hmm. regions were smaller. Mm-hmm. In nations, it's been like about 150.
Mm-hmm.
but in terms of kingdoms and entities, which were pretty significant historical terms, they've been kicked out of about 1,100 different societies. And, of course, they say they're always innocent. And I'm not saying that all Jews are always guilty.
They say they're always innocent. How do you do times? Yeah. That's, I'm starting to notice a trend here.
I got kicked out of every bar in this town. Those bastards.
Yeah, right.
They just always just didn't like me for some reason.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, I was pickpocketing the people in there, and I was beating up the girls and stuff. That's, you know, no problem.
I think, David, that term anti-Semitic has lost all value. They label everybody who disagrees with them anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means now.
You know what anti-Semitic needs today? I believe this is the way they're defining it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're defining it themselves as an anti-Semite is somebody who opposes Jewish genocide.
Right, right, right.
And Jewish racism. And right. Jewish supremacism.
Dave, is it true to be a Semite, you have to be from a region? You have to have that genealogy?
Well, in a technical sense, yes. But anti-Semite has become just a term for anti-Jewishness.
Yeah, they can have that term used for them.
Right. And it's way more than that. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's about 16, 17 million Jews in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Now, there's 8 billion people in the world. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And the truth is that Jews have been persecuted from time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I argue sometimes that there was a reaction to them because of some of the things they engaged in, which was disreputable. The Sackler family, that they got half the country on drugs, marketing OxyContin, right?
Uh-huh.
Which caused ultimately millions of deaths. And that's just from the overdose. It's not kind of the ruined lives.
Jews behind that too?
The Sackler family, they were the biggest contributors to Israel you could possibly imagine.
Right.
And in the court cases, we learned that the Sacklers knew these drugs were extremely addictive, way more than even heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that, and it's in their papers. But, guess what? They marketed to the doctors, they bribed the doctors, sent them to Monaco. Come to Monaco, get all your patients to use OxyContin, because they won't addict them. And so all these working men, black, white, others, a lot of this fell on people in Appalachia and all the people like that. They, when they get injured, and males working, males are doing most of the jobs, the most dangerous jobs, you know, whether you be a police officer or whether you be a fireman. Mm-hmm. Firemen have a great death rate and also injury rate. And then you have other things, you just being a lineman up the poles all the time, or being on a building laying steel girders, and people get hurt. You're a mechanic shop, right? And the lift breaks and it crushes you, right? And so go through pain. And so they're trying to get pain relief. They go to the doctor, take this OxyContin, and then they get them hooked.
Right. Yeah.
And
the Sacklers, they were Zionist?
Oh, man. Talk about Jews. they literally, no, super Zionists.
Oh, okay.
They were some of the biggest benefactors of non-American universities, Jewish universities in Israel. They sent most of their, quote, philanthropic work was all to Israel.
Yeah, I've recently just learned that, like all this transgenderism that you see and hear about here in the States, I had no idea that actually in the Talmud, this is like their religion.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I just thought that was something some progressive here in America came up with.
I forget the guy's name. 1939, was it? 29? The actual inventor of transgenderism. He was
in Germany, yeah.
Yeah, he was Jewish.
Well, that's exactly the first one that did the operations, you know, on kids and stuff like that.
That's the books that were burning in Germany when Nazi.
Yeah, but they
Hitler
were. You know, most of the books they were burning was porn, pornography. And the Weimar Republic was known for its porn. But there's a, again, I gave a lot of facts. I don't want to tie us all down with facts. We're going to have a lot of fun here, too.
Mm.
But there is an important Jewish scientist, social scientist, his name is Abrams, Nathan Abrams. And he did a article for the Jewish Intellectual Quarterly, and it's called Triple Ethnics. And it talks about how the Jews, in his words, the Walt Disneys of porn. I mean, right. because mm-hmm. They were the one popularized. They were the whole source of the X-rated movie industry. And I think the X-rated movie industry is not a good thing for people. I think pornography is not a good thing for a young male either.
Yeah, it's easy yeah, it's to. Not. It's fun to watch it, but it proves your head up.
It's addictive, right. and mm-hmm. and it damages people, and it lessens male fertility. It lessens, you know, it can even reduce some of your testosterone rates and so forth mm-hmm. over time. But there's all sorts of negative things to it. And it also it seems to be a barrier from people making a real relationship
right,
with the opposite sex.
Yeah, right. Just have fun with yourself.
And, that's it. And and so what this does is it really limits the reproduction rates of populations that have a lot. And, you know, I noticed this. I lived in Russia. I worked with Alexander Solzhenitsyn, mm-hmm. the great anti-communist dissident. Most of your young listeners probably don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. I grew up kind of – I worshipped the guy because he was anti-communist. Mm-hmm. He helped overthrow the communist regime. And, by the way, the Russians aren't communists anymore. Just a note for people to mm-hmm. notice these things.
Really?
Russia's not trying
that.
To take over the world anymore.
Right.
It was trying to take over the world when it was when Jews dominated the so-called Soviet state. The Jews hated the Russians.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Communism was a Jewish movement. And this is what I talked about a little bit earlier in the – we can give a plug for him, you know, mm-hmm. the Jake Shields show, you know, mm-hmm. that here's Bilzerian – on Piers Morgan, right? Mm-hmm. And Bilzerian said, look, he said, Jews murdered through communism, which they controlled the communist movement. It was a Jewish movement was communist. Oh, Piers Morgan says, oh, no, that can't be. That's not true. What's the facts? And the fact is that the guy that Piers Morgan really loves more than any person probably in history mm-hmm. is Winston Churchill. And he loves the fact, by the way, that they burned alive 700,000, 900,000 German, mainly women with their babies,
wow.
in the bombing. And you always hear this. And one of the things he says famously is, oh, it's okay to kill all these Gazans because we killed those Nazis, didn't we? We killed their families. We burned alive babies
right.
And with, right. you know, and their mothers in their cribs. With right. saturation bombing, and this was in fact Allied started this. It's kind of the same way that we were given this story that Saddam Hussein was, you know, a monster.
Yeah, weapons of mass destruction.
He's killing his own people.
Killing his own people. But then you have Madeleine Albright. Again, the younger people, I don't know why I hate this, but during the years ago, she goes on 60 Minutes, right? And she is a big Zionist Jew. She was head of our State Department. And 60 Minutes asked her about what is going on. They went to Iraq, and they found out we had sanctions against Iraq. And our government, which was then the State Department, has been controlled by Jews for a long time, Jewish Zionists. And again, it's not all Jews, but we're talking about Jewish elite, right? Mm-hmm. And she supported the sanctions. And we know that the sanctions, Iraq is a desert kingdom.
Right.
And if you sanction and you don't allow medicine into the country and food into the country, it's going to lead to malnutrition. It's going to be starvation. And when people get sick, just like they're doing right now in Gaza, they're mm-hmm. keeping the medicine from the kids and everything. And they even keep, it's horrible to say it, but it's all true. They're even keeping anesthetics from kids getting it when they get their heads injured, terrible burns, losing their arms, their legs, you know. Yeah. It's amazing. They say one-tenth of the kids seem to be losing limbs.
Yeah, a lot of Americans don't have that same perspective. They think it's we're punishing the bad people. But no, you punish a lot of good people.
There was
people.
A UN report just the other day, like I said, that showed the biggest single demographic age group, of the most deaths were 5 to 10-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that for a second. The right. most deaths, they're all Hamas members, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they
say. They've got to be Hamas members.
They're using people as shields and stuff like that.
Which is totally untrue.
Yeah, it's just an Israeli talking point at this point.
Yeah, the truth is, like everything they say, there's an old Polish proverb, and sometimes there's truth in proverbs, sometimes not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the slogan goes like this: a Jew always cries in pain as he strikes you.
Yeah.
Man, we got a brand new giveaway. Look at this. 2024 Ford diesel F-250, 6.7 liter power stroke.
Got a stroke in there.
37 inch tires. Look at this monstrous truck. So look how easy it is to get in with the Joe Biden assist steps. Ah! Man, you know, we give away, what, 20 vehicles now?
I don't know. I can't count that high.
Over $2 million. Y'all know why we do this, right?
Really? $2 million?
Yeah.
Man, we should have kept that money.
Hey, look, y'all know why we do this, right?
Hey, we need to redo our business plan.
We do this to give back to y'all. Y'all support us, we support you.
We gave away $2 million?
Yeah, stop thinking like a filthy Democrat. We Trump supporters. Go to officialhogstoys.com. Anything you buy from the site get you automatically.
Hit it in the way. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. See official rules for details.
Yeah.
And that's what we've really, let's just talk about, well, in fact, you want to boil into Gaza for a minute and October 7th?
Yeah, what do you think Israel's goal is in that whole conflict right now? What do you think their end goal is?
They want to control the entire Middle East. They want to take over Lebanon and ethnically cleanse it eventually. They want to destroy Iran. They want to totally depopulate and exterminate the Arab, the Palestinian population in what was originally Palestine, and they want to rule over all of it. They have this idea of this greater Israel. And there's, so the United Nations itself and the highest court ruled that the genocide of the Palestinians, this offense is plausible. I mean, there's so much evidence for it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons they know this is because the hardest thing to prove about genocide and get convictions of is to prove the intent. But this is one case of genocide that we know the intent. There are thousands of videos made by Jewish soldiers bragging and showing them massacring children.
Right.
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 And going to the homes of Palestinians and shooting women and taking their lingerie, you know.
And not to mention these people, the original Palestinians, they are citizens of Israel, right?
Well, some of the Palestinians are 20%, and they are all also a suppressed minority. But they're gonna—they really want to get rid of those eventually too. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any argument. But you know, there's so many lies. Israel is the only democratic state in the Middle East. Well, there's about something like 6-7 million Jews, right, in Israel, and there's 6 or 7 million about Palestinians in the territory is controlled by the Jews in the West Bank, Israel, and you know, Gaza, and so forth. And that's just the reality of the lay of the land. Those people in the West Bank and Gaza and so forth, which is about half the population, they have no democratic rights.
Right.
They can't vote in an election. They've been living under military dictatorship. So let's just take October 7th for a second. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say things here. And if anybody thinks I'm not telling the truth, please look it up and you can find it, right? Mm-hmm. You might have to look for it a little bit.
Yeah, good. Don't believe you. Just look it up. See it for yourself.
So let's just talk about a couple things, all right? So when October 7th happened, the Jews first said 14 million were killed, and including a lot of civilians. And then they said 12 million. Now, not 12 million.
1,200.
And then it's down to 1,150 or whatever, right? And by the way, if you look at the pictures of all the people in there, I would say half of them or more have Israeli uniforms on, right, in the pictures. And by the way, the truth is that Israelis are much more likely to be murderous SOBs, you know, than the Palestinians. Only they even the Jews themselves, the government of Israel says that between 15 and 20,000, basically, Palestinians are Hamas fighters.
How do you go about proving or disproving that?
I don't know, but that's what the Israeli government's saying, okay? So that's not many.
Yeah.
Right? That's out of 2.4 million. Mm-hmm. Almost every Israeli citizen, man and woman, goes in the military. and they're just really programmed with this really racist hatred against the Palestinians.
Right.
But let's go to October 7th again. Okay, so first thing that happened they said, oh, my God, these people are monsters. You know, they killed all these they murdered children. They beheaded 40 Palestinian babies. I mean, imagine. And of course, any sort of damage and killing of children is wrong. And I don't care whether it's Palestinians or whether it's Jews or whether it's Germans during the war or whether it's Russians. Anybody. All right. So what was the truth? And that was given out to the whole world and the Jewish media. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes the power they have in media, which is enormous. Theo Von the other day talked about that in the Joe Rogan show. I don't know if you saw that.
That's good.
Very interesting. When I was much younger, Theo Von was a neighbor of mine. I don't want to get off the subject here, Gaza,
okay.
But he was a neighbor of mine, and he was a young kid. And his father was very old, by the way, probably my age then when he was just a teenager. And he needed some direction. He was a good kid, you know, and I used to work out at a club called Franco's. And I was always, I believed in strong. I didn't work out for bodybuilding. I worked out for strength.
Right.
And I was a strong son of a gun. And a little lost weight now, but I'm going to get it back.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I took him with me and I taught him how to work out. And I was amazed because I haven't had any contact with him in many, many years.
Oh, okay.
And he
found out who you were, huh?
He obviously had to know about me because I ran for governor. I got 65% of the white vote.
Yeah.
Should
have got 100%.
Well, thank you.
Damn traitors.
Tell me that to my white brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I know. What's wrong with y'all?
But they teach our people to hate themselves.
Yeah, they do.
But and that's true. And I don't think, and just to get off the subject, because we're really having a wide-ranging problem.
Right.
We're bouncing around a lot, but this is entertaining, I hope.
So we'll get to your plan pass.
Yeah, I do believe very much that the Jewish supremacy that exists in this country, and they control politics, we can go into that later, and the media, and the morality they teach ourselves and our children, and the policies they take are damaging to everybody in this country and so many millions of people in the world. They gave us the Iraq War. The Iraq War was based on lies. I traveled the world against the Iraq War, but I'm supposed to be this terrible guy, right?
Right.
I wanted peace. If there wouldn't have been that Iraq War, there wouldn't be 30,000 dead Americans in the Iraq and Afghanistan war.
Yeah, right.
There wouldn't be hundreds of thousands that are injured, even brain injuries, traumatic brain injuries. There wouldn't be millions of marriages that broke up from the long separations of, two decades. Of 2 decades, 2003, of these wars there. And it's like, so but who did the Iraq War? Now, I say these were wars for Israel, and this was a war for Israel. And in fact, Netanyahu came and testified before Congress about how that the Iraqis had weapons of mass destruction.
Right, yeah.
Because that was their enemy. He wasn't our enemy. He actually was an ally. He was actually an ally of the United States, believe it or not.
Yeah.
He did kind of what we wanted, and he sold a lot of oil to us and at good prices and everything else. But he became an enemy because he was supporting the Palestinians. And so they wanted us to fight a war. But they didn't want to do it with Israeli troops and Israeli money.
Yeah.
No, they want to use American troops and American money.
Right.
And they did it. Now, when I say that they brought about this war, I can prove it easily by any measure you want to make it. There's a fantastic economist and thinker and diplomat named Jeffrey Sachs. He's a professor at Princeton. And he tells us, in fact, on his website, he says the people that created the Iraq War were these neocons, and how the neocon movement is a Jewish movement. In fact, he listed all those top people in the Iraq War that brought us the Iraq War, which is based on lies. And by the way, I campaigned against it. I like Tucker Carlson, but he was actually working for the war.
Yeah,
at that time. So, I tell Tucker I'm not such a bad guy. Hopefully you'll interview him one day.
Yeah, he's like an icon today for the Republican movement.
But anyway, so it's like the issue is that I think African Americans Asian Americans, all Americans, and European Americans have all been damaged by this corruption that's ruling our country. The middle class, when I grew up in America, I'm way older than you young guys, and when I grew up in America, you could, a person starting out basically, a working person in a factory, working person at a job, could buy a house.
Yeah.
Right.
And he could buy a house and actually pay the payments on it, and the wife didn't even have to work if she didn't want to.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, now you can't do that now.
Can't do that.
You can't hardly afford it even if both work.
Yeah, the middle class is gone now.
And if you both work, what kind of guidance do the children get and need, right? But we've also, the whole middle class has vastly shrunk while the oligarchs have gotten richer and richer and richer. Part of that, too, by the way, was the whole pandemic thing. You know, basically that destroyed that. I saw headlines out of a number of major publications that the shutting down of the massive businesses of America transferred at least $3.5-4 trillion from the middle class to the richest 1%.
Yeah, right. I believe it.
And it's all. So this damage. And when I say these banks and some of these economies. You have a Jewish domination. They do. Goldman Sachs is a giant criminal bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been fined billions of dollars over the years.
They've been fined billions. But let me tell you an interesting thing. There's a publication called Better Markets. And then I give you things you can look up. Okay. You can look up Better Markets, right? Mm-hmm. Go to the website. It's a Wall Street publication that tracks criminality by the big banks, right? Mm-hmm. Goldman Sachs had a lot to do with the meltdown, which destroyed millions of people's lives. People lost their houses and jobs and everything in 2007, 2008. And that's among many. And Goldman Sachs is right in the middle of all that stuff. Well, Goldman Sachs just a year and a half ago was convicted. In fact, they pled guilty to a vast, incredible crime. They pled guilty to an international criminal conspiracy. Boy, I hate to lose that name. You're going to lose your child. Right. But they feel guilty to, it's a law, international criminal conspiracy, bribery, conspiracy. $4.5 billion bribery scheme. That $4.5 billion was what they were spending in bribes. They were stealing basically, you know, trillions basically from the country. They just about broke the whole country of Malaysia. Mm-hmm. But so this is your one of your most famous banks, but they interview them for CNBC or whatever, you know, or Fox News, they never bring this up.
Right.
They never say you bunch of criminals. Right. No, we're busy sanctioning Russian banks, right?
Right, yeah. And what was they trying to bribe them for?
Hmm?
What was the bribes for?
Well, the bribes, because they were trying to get the money, figure out a way to get money from the Malaysian people into the banks of Goldman Sachs. And just steal from them. They basically just about bankrupted their healthcare system. I mean, imagine that. And these were government healthcare systems for their people.
And the Zionists did this? The Zionists?
Well, Goldman Sachs is the biggest single, has been the biggest single corporate contributor. They used to bundle the things. And when there were campaign finance laws where like you gave $1,000, $2,000 a person and give up to that amount. Because they wanted to, the Jews wanted to express their power. Because when you're able to go to somebody and say, "Okay, we've got 2,000 employees, or we got 100,000 employees, giving $2,000 to you," well, they're paying these employees a lot of money, and then we'll do that. We'll bundle it together, and so Goldman Sachs is giving you 2,000 times times 2,000 is a lot.
Yeah.
That's two things. Yeah. So anyway, and that's what they called it. And Goldman Sachs was the biggest single corporate contributor. Now, since 2011, they changed a law with the Citizens United Act, which says anybody can contribute any amount of money they want.
Giving Jews the right to donate.
So I've got charts. I had some charts, but Jake's got them. He didn't give them back to me today.
No, he did. Hey, I want to talk about your days back in the Klan.
Okay, well, we'll do that.
The Klan has a negative connotation to the word, but before y'all took over it, it was just like a group, right?
Well,
like a
club. Well, there were different iterations of the Klan. And the Klan was modeled after the clans of Scotland, mm-hmm. and a loosely knit group of clans that were trying to stop the English domination mm-hmm. of their country, which is pretty vile domination. They had the right of first night or whatever when somebody would get married. They had the right for some English aristocrat mm-hmm. who was rolling over and to have sex with their bride. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of bad things going on in the world.
Yeah. You started at you established the Klan in 74?
Well, I got involved in a Klan that already existed. It was the Knights of the KKK. Mm-hmm. And it was done by a very fine person who was a very brilliant man. Mm-hmm. He was also kind of he was like the Navy amateur boxing champion, by the way, during times after the Second World War, yeah. But he was a good guy, and we believed in preserving our heritage and saving his country from the immigration. Mm-hmm. And it was the only organization that was really kind of standing up to this Jewish takeover of our country. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say takeover, I want you to know that these are not my words. Mm-hmm. You know where I got those words from, the Jewish takeover of America?
To Jews.
Yes, of course. Well, out of the New York Times. In 2005, the leading pundit of the New York Times is David Brooks. He writes an article called The Chosen, Getting In. And in the article, you get me for the film in the right places. Well, that's fine. I'm very animated around here. Yeah. It got me excited here. So anyway, so he writes an article, The Chosen, Getting In, and he says, this is amazing stuff. And he says, okay, and he talks about the Jewish takeover of academia, which has a great influence on America, the takeover of the American elite. And there's change that took place in America. So he says, I gave a speech on this because everybody talks about how the Jews really dominate the entire Ivy League schools, which are like mm-hmm. the ticket to ride in America. You get a degree from Harvard or Yale or Princeton, you got a ticket to ride, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very, very powerful. It's just like that's your ticket, right? Mm-hmm. And how the Jews have taken this over. But that's a whole other question. But anyway, so he writes, says, I gave this speech, and she said, a woman came up to me. Mm-hmm. And she was Jewish, right? Mm-hmm. And she knew I was Jewish, mm-hmm. and I knew she was Jewish. Mm-hmm. And she says, Mr. Brooks, you know what you're talking about here. Is you're talking about the Jewish takeover of America. Mm-hmm. And in his speech, this is an article in the New York Times, right? Mm-hmm. And Brooks says, yeah. Yeah.
So Jews, a lot of people back in those days, Americans had concerns for somebody overturning America and having that our best, best values at heart.
You know, there's a interesting book by Neil Gabler, who is a Hollywood reviewer of movies, and he also wrote some books on it. He wrote a book called An Empire of Their Own. Mm-hmm. And again, you can look that up, folks, The Empire of Their Own, Neil mm-hmm. Gabler. Mm-hmm. And in the book, he talks about how the Jews founded the National Academy of Arts and Sciences, Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Mm-hmm. And he said these were a bunch of Jews making themselves important and giving themselves each awards, mm-hmm. For dominating Hollywood. And he goes on to say, he says this, he says, and an empire of their own means an empire of Jews. The right. Jews basically controlled Hollywood, and you couldn't get work. You couldn't be successful. In fact, the last Gentile holdout in Hollywood of the big studios was Disney. But they took that over about 30, 40 years ago with Eisner, and then ever since then it's been Jews. There's different names of Jews, but there are. It's just like now nepotism. It's like part of the.
Oh, okay,
it's now a Jewish studio, right?
Right.
But so this is what he wrote in his book. I'm quoting him, and he's a Jew too, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he said, the Jews were never part of the precincts of the real America. They weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. They had different values than the Christian people of America, and they certainly had different heritage than the Christians of America. And he said, they weren't even allowed in the precincts of the real America, mm-hmm. the original America. He said, but this shadow America, this Jewish shadow of America, became what America has become. So the shadow America, the Jewish shadow America, became the real America and the core of our values. No wonder America's gone to heck.
Right.
And Hollywood doesn't Hollywood did movie after movie telling young black kids, right? The way to riches and fortunes is become a drug dealer.
Right.
Like all the Superfly movies. Who's the guy that was Public Enemy number one? Professor Griff. Mm-hmm. Professor Griff. So when Anaconda came out, and who was the Jewish woman that did that song, Anaconda? Not Jewish woman, black woman. Yeah. Very heavy. Huh?
Nicki Minaj.
So Nicki Minaj came out. And she's doing all this music, and this is the Jewish music industry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're praising this woman. Wasn't even a pretty woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't very talented or whatever. And what did they do? Well, she's got music where she's bragging about shooting people with guns, mm-hmm. selling drugs, mm-hmm. you know, selling her body,
right?
You know, doing drugs, all this stuff. That's really good role models for black people.
I think that like the music industry is like really destroyed.
Yeah.
The black community, the value system, everything.
I think so. And you know what? So this guy's pretty honest. So I got into this like Twitter war. Now I'm banned from Twitter because they tell the truth about the things we were talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
But Professor Griff weighed in on it and said, David Duke's right about Nicki Minaj, right about the Jewish producers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's absolutely right about it. He's telling the truth.
Yeah. Anything that's popular amongst American blacks is everything's crime, drugs, prostitution.
That's exactly
right. Sexual exploitation.
And by the way, I'm going to tell you something, too. This is very interesting. That in 1960, early 60, before the so-called war on poverty started, mm-hmm. and also the transformation was really in the 60s when they replaced the Christian morality of America
mm-hmm.
and the family-friendly morality in America
mm-hmm.
with this other kind of, you know, homosexual
friendly stuff, yeah.
friendly
yeah.
of America and the disgusting aspects. But when this happened, okay, this change took place because this was institutional. But when this happened, when this beginning happened, American black people, about 80%, more than that perhaps, 80% of all black children were born legitimately with a loving, present father in the home.
Yeah. Wow. Those days are long gone.
So what happened there? It was a change in the culture.
Yeah, right. Music, TV.
And there was a lot of people trying to hold it back a little bit because they saw this kind of Marxist takeover of the Hollywood industry and this leftist mm-hmm. Position and this destruction of American morality.
Mm-hmm.
But this just wasn't stopped. And the American family, and this affected white people too, don't think about
right.
it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I mean, rap music, not all of rap music, some of it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But all rap music is like, I mean, but the rap music with the drugs and
yeah.
the... sexualizing.
You're glamorizing it.
That's what I got to say good about Bazarian, too. I mean, he had a hedonistic lifestyle, made some money from it, too, and things. But he said, you know, I just came to the realization that having 9 women a day wasn't really making me happy. Maybe for the short term.
Yeah, for the short term, yeah.
But he said, that's not going to make me happy.
Yeah.
He said, now I'm one woman, you know?
Yeah. Anything gets old. Anything can get old.
So, I mean, so what happened here? Now we got a situation that's reversed. Maybe 20%, maybe less than that.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I didn't realize when I was growing up, like all my black friends, I had a father in my home, but mm-hmm. I didn't really notice at the time, but none of my black friends had fathers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them today, they're all in jail.
And that's right. And a young male, just like a young female needs an aspect of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And mothers are a different sexual orientation and a different right. mentality than mm-hmm. males are.
Yeah.
A young black male needs a male father to show him the way. Now, it used to be everybody up until the 20th century would lived on farms and they grew up with their father. They worked with their father every day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They hunted, they, you know, planted the crops, tended to the animals, mm-hmm. given responsibility, and they were taught, you know, what it means to be a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't have that foundation anymore.
Don't have that anymore. Right.
Hey, why did the Klan, why did they burn crosses?
Well,
that shit used to scare the hell out of me when I watched these old TV shows. My mom would make me watch Roots and all these stuff. Like, oh my God, they're burning the cross.
Well, ironically, you know, when we call it cross lightings, and
actually, cross lightings.
Yes, that's what it was.
Okay,
it wasn't a desecration of the cross. Look, right. I'm not defending everything Klan did, but I'm just telling you, this really came from the Scottish clans, and they would light a cross the same way that you'd put candles in the shape of a cross in a church. Now, that's something that may seem strange to people. Mm-hmm. Even the Klan costumes, if you look at the those people that did the suffered, you know, for Christ, they, like I remember when I did a Klan border watch in terms of the Mexican-American border. I led one way back. I was the first one to actually do this.
Just watching them across.
With a Klan, and we were reporting it. Oh, we did. We didn't do anything illegal. We didn't do anything. And it was pretty amazing because it was like the immigration came down to zero because the media acted like they were all going to be killed by the KKK, right?
Right, right.
But that's not why we did it. But it's very interesting because one time they would show pictures, and the Spanish proselytes, you know, of Christian church, they wore robes almost exactly like Klan robes.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
And that's where the Klan robes actually came from, believe it or not.
And so, from the Spanish.
So these are cross lightings. It was never used as a tactic to put fear.
I'm sure. Well, one thing's for sure. It certainly could have happened that way. It was because of the symbol of resistance to what was going on. And some people did it. And anybody who did that, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And they should be prosecuted. There's only a single member of my group who's ever even accused of a violent crime like that. And nobody
so you've never
be.
Been a part of any lynchings or anything
Oh,
like
God.
That.
No.
Like, all I know is what I see on, like, Hollywood representation of the Klan.
Did you say I know about the Klan is what I've been taught.
All right. Yeah. I got one. Now, you're two black guys. You had to see Black KKK Klansmen, Spike Lee's movie, huh? You hope you saw
I can't
that.
Stand Spike Lee.
I know, but you probably saw
I
that
I can't
film.
Stand that nigga. I can't stand him.
I'm glad you said that, not me. I wouldn't say that.
He's a woke Democrat. I don't like
And by the way, just a good example of that, they try to make up things. And sometimes back in of course, I've been around a long time. And I came of age in the 60s, right? Mm. At that time, Martin Luther King described himself and black people as Negroes.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
And
yeah,
sometimes they pervert that in an article and act like you're using the term.
Yeah, right.
The N-word. Right. I'm not even going to say the term because they just take that and say, look, David didn't use the N-word.
He said it.
And I did thousands and thousands of interviews. You're never going to find me use this. I wasn't trying to insult black people. Mm-hmm. I was really trying to say that I knew that affirmative action was coming, and I knew that the demographics were changing. We're going to be running out of time in a minute if we're not careful. But so I knew this stuff was going on, and I want to defend my people the same way that Palestinians understood that having their country changed demographically by people who had very different values than them and had very powerful forces, that if that happened, that my people would suffer, and I believe the nation would suffer. And I think America was a great country. It's not as great as it was. Trump keeps trying to say, make America great again. We'll see. But you know, I think it was a great country. I think the Constitution was a beautiful document. And the Declaration of Independence is what I believe in. And that the idea of the Declaration of Independence is the idea that every people has the right to determine their own government, to have a government that reflects the values of the people of that country, not some foreign power, not some extraneous power, not a tiny elite. It has special interests. My every slogan when I ran for office, and I got elected to office 2-3 times, every time I ran for office, my slogan was equal rights for all, special privilege for none.
Right. Yeah.
And one of the reasons I joined the Klan at a young age, because the Klan was the only group. I was defending white people, yes. I was working very hard against the immigration, mass immigration, which I think is damn. Even Mexicans now are voting against the illegal immigration.
I mean, that's hurt everybody. It hurts every American.
Yeah. What do you think will make America great again?
I think there's only one path to that. We have to end a supremacy to dethrone a supremacy that's putting aside the interests of the American people in favor of the richest 1%.
Yeah, the Zionist.
And the Zionists that control the legal system. Right. As I was telling you earlier, the election campaign, for instance, in 2020, and so, or 2016, excuse me, Hillary Clinton had the 20 biggest contributors to Hillary Clinton in her campaign for president of the United States. Mm-hmm. 20 contributors. Guess how many of them were Jewish Zionists? These are billionaires. I'm talking about, we're talking about 10 million mm-hmm. from the top all the way down to about a million.
Or top 20?
This is the top 20, the top biggest billionaire contributors.
Don't tell me it's all 20.
Well, it's definitely not Negroes.
No, it's 18.
18 out of 20.
Jews are 2% of the population. And they were all Zionist, pro-Israel Jews.
Yeah, I know it's a lot of a lot of Trump's
that's
cabinet
power.
Picks.
That's
yeah.
power.
Yeah,
yeah, why can't we take money from China, Russia, for America? But we can't take it from those countries, but we can definitely take it from Israel.
Well, I think, you know, and this is one thing Bilzerian said, that, and he couldn't offer any evidence. It's kind of hard, though, to have much evidence in the sense of that the Mossad, if they kill a president or the CIA, mm-hmm. they're not going to go parade around the evidence, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we do know that John F. Kennedy, and I do think that the CIA had a part to it, and mm-hmm. and I do think that Israel definitely saw Kennedy as the enemy.
Right. Mm-hmm. What about Nixon?
Because he also said that the Jews had to register as a foreign lobby for a foreign country,
right,
APAC.
Yeah, right.
And he also was against the atomic bomb, and he was determined that Israel would not have the right to make a atomic bomb. By the way, they stole our atomic fissional material, the Jews did. Even, in fact, a Hollywood producer, Milchin, was part of that. But, I mean, it goes, you can't imagine.
You can't deny these correlations.
I don't think you can. And just look at it this way. We talked about Goldman Sachs earlier, right? So according to Better Markets, and you can look at all the data. And in fact, they list it all. It's all documented. Better Markets, remember that. Look up Goldman Sachs. Biggest criminal banking organization in the world. They had 36 major frauds they committed. And they list all these in the article. And they show that Goldman Sachs was, and you said it yourself. I think you have some knowledge here. You're pretty good. They were fined about $10 billion.
Yeah, billions, yeah.
And for their fines. But guess how much money they got out in bailouts from the federal government? They got, and Better Markets listed, it's like it's over $800 billion in bailouts. Now, you know, a lot of people don't understand this. We have the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. You know, Ron Paul's right, the people that say in the Fed, right? But the Federal Reserve is actually a privately owned corporation. It has government influence because they can appoint ahead of it. But even like Trump, we found out, couldn't fire Powell.
Yeah.
Remember? Right. You know, would you step down if the president wants you to step down? No.
Right. You can't.
You can't. So what is that all about? Greenspan was talking about Bush, and that was a former head. And by the way, Jews have been like 3/4 of all the Fed heads the last 30, 40 years.
Really?
But Powell's not, but he serves them. But anyway, so Greenspan said, how do you get along? He was on one of the major talk shows, NPR or something. And they said, well, how do you get along with President Bush? And they said, well, we get along fine as long as he knows that he can't affect my policy, that he can't affect me, that I can do whatever I want. Now, you got to understand, these are the people that dole out literally trillions of dollars to banks.
Right.
If somebody gave you, say, $1 billion tomorrow, mm-hmm. you'd be set. You could lend that out yourself, and you'd be making more money than you dreamed about. Mm-hmm. And it's like that is power.
Yeah.
But they can do this. Even Bernanke mentioned the fact that he wouldn't even give the data to Congress, who was getting these bailouts.
Right.
He wouldn't even give it. And the reason why, because it goes to foreign banks. But this is the American currency.
Right.
These are American dollars that are given out, whether they're digital or whether they're in paper.
You gave them all that money to bail them out, and our government has no say so about how they run the Fed.
So they could find, you know, whatever, eight, whatever it is.
Sure, it's just a price of doing business.
And but they get, you know, whatever, and they get almost, you know, not a trillion, but almost that, right? And they commit massive crimes against the American people.
Right.
But they get away with it because we have a media that covers it. It's like the mafia.
Right.
Owning the newspapers or owning the television, right?
Yeah.
And covering up the
crimes.
Well,
it's okay because we're Gentiles.
We're the goyim, yeah.
Yeah. We serve them. What did you think about a lot of Trump's cabinet picks pledging their allegiance to Israel?
It's disappointing and so damaging, you know. Look, there's many things I disagree about Hitler. And I don't consider myself a Nazi. You know, I did some theater, political theater, when I was like 17, dressed up in the thing one time in my life. Mm. But I was trying to call attention to Jewish communism and like the Chicago 7. And I was just doing this as a theater as a way to call attention to – see, this is how I view it. Mm-hmm. There's only one Nazi state, and it's not – the Nazi Donald Trump and the Nazi state of America now. Especially.
Right.
No, there's one Nazi state, and it's really Israel. But Israel are more Nazis than the Nazis were. The Nazis would never, whatever the crimes you say the Nazis committed, they would have never gone in front of the German people and said, we got to kill the babies. Mm-hmm. We got to kill the suckling infants like Netanyahu is giving the thing about the Amalekites, right? Mm-hmm. Because they knew that was against the ethics of the German people. And they wouldn't think the Nazis were good people if they were killing Jewish babies or anybody else.
Right.
They had a Jewish person on television in Israel just the other day, and he literally said, we have to completely ethnically cleanse the Palestinians from Gaza and from the Middle East and the greater Israel. Completely do it.
Right.
And you know what he said then? He said, Hitler said, this is what he said. He said, Hitler said that, quote, let me see if I can get this exactly right because it's a pretty amazing quote, that he didn't want to live one more day of his life with Jews in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the truth is Hitler never said that quote, but he promoted that quote. He says, that's how I feel about Palestinians. He literally phrased a phony quote they made up about Hitler.
Right, and so he misrepresented Hitler, but he used that to say he abide by it.
Well, in that interest, yeah.
That's crazy.
He said that's, like, he went to the whole issue about how to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians.
Right.
I mean, and they are actually, the head of their national security was talking about how we don't want, we want to have a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Mm-hmm. We want these kids to die.
Right.
They blew up the water treatment plants. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So that the water's dirty and is tainted with disease. They did everything they could. They wanted to flood the whatever the tunnels. And by the way, the story about 400 miles of tunnels, that's another big lie, like all the rest of the lies.
Mm-hmm.
Their tunnels weren't the size of New York subways. but this is going on. And let's go to Gaza back again 1 second, and we can punctuate this by this. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on October 7th. The Gazans and the Hamas were absolute brutal beasts for killing children and beheading children. Well, first of all, there weren't 40 babies beheaded. No babies were beheaded.
None.
Right? None. And in fact, there was only, according to Israel, one baby died. Mm-hmm. One baby died, and that was in a crossfire, by the way. Mm-hmm. Another one, supposedly, the woman.
It was friendly fire?
I think probably.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at all the cars and so forth, now these were cars of the Gazans where they're trying to get out and bring the hostages back. So that's the first thing. So 36 children totally died. Babies, one baby died. Mm-hmm. They've had 1,000, just literally, three or four a day die in just this last year. Babies who were dead. Less than 1 year old. That's what we classify as a baby. Mm-hmm. And the hypocrisy is beyond you. So that's the first. So if now in Operation Protective Edge, which was one of the Jewish operations in Gaza, in Operation Cast Lead, and there's about two or three other ones, right? In those operations, thousands of Palestinians, almost all civilians, just like they're saying now, the United Nations just showed that 70% of the people that died in Gaza were women and children. Women and children aren't Hamas members.
Right.
So if you have 2,000, 3,000, and we can show that's true, children and babies killed by Israel in these invasions, right? And that's a much higher percentage than what the Gazans did. And nobody's defending a child being killed, especially not intentionally.
Right.
But Israel knows exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if this makes the Gazan people or the Palestinians terrorists, are monsters. So when Israel kills 50 times that or 1,000 times, 100 times that, what are they?
Yeah, it's all the war crimes.
They're monsters. Mm-hmm. They're the biggest monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other issue is another good example, which I think even your younger listeners and viewers can judge this for themselves. The other thing that's really apparent, right? Let's just take a look at why did the Gazans, they actually took some prisoners back to Israel.
Right.
Well, maybe because 200,000 Palestinians have been tortured in Israeli prisons, kidnapped from their families.
Right.
Maybe because of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. Most Palestinians at some point have been imprisoned by Israel at some point and often mistreated terribly in those imprisonments. Now, how is that different than taking some civilians back to Gaza so they could trade and get their own wives and kids and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers out of the prison?
Right.
And how many right now Palestinians have been kidnapped by Israel? And by the way, at least half of them, not even a charge against them. There's no legal justification.
Just do it for the hell of it.
Yeah, they're actually held. Some of them have been held for decades without any charges, and then they get tortured, and now we know they get homosexually raped. And the Israeli parliament was debating, and they were saying that there were many activists in the Israeli government. In fact, they went there and rioted, not against the rape of the Palestinians. They rioted against punishing
them.
Guys that are raping men in trains, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that goes on. So on that standard, you hear about the Jewish hostages. They took 250 hostages, right?
Mm-hmm.
You hear about hostages every day. You get their names. You get who they are. There's 20,000 Palestinians now being tortured and imprisoned and raped, many of them, in Israeli prisons and concentration camps.
And the media doesn't cover it.
And by the way, Gaza is not a it's not a refugee camp. See, refugees are like you got a flood, you got a hurricane like we have in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And you kind of become a refugee. You have to leave your home because of this circumstance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And refugees have almost a thing, well, you know, poor refugees, right? It's not a refugee. These aren't refugees. These people are put into concentration camps. That's what it is. It's a concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
Put them behind bars. It's not like these are refugees. A refugee can go back home eventually.
Mm-hmm, right.
If you're a refugee from a hurricane, you're a refugee from a particular occupation for a minute. If it goes away, you get to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
The Palestinians have never been allowed to go back home. 700,000 were kicked out of their homes, their businesses, their farms, you know, and they were. This happened because of terrorism. They terrorized them. They did massacres at Deir Yassin, for instance. So they terrorized these people, drove them out of their homes, and then when they left to try to save their families, when they tried to come back, you couldn't come back.
David, a lot of Republicans don't know that Palestine actually existed.
Of course, if you look at any map of the world the last few hundred years, even back to Roman times, Palestine.
Right. Yeah.
Palestinia. Palestine has always existed, and that's none of the dehumanization, right? It's like Palestinians don't even exist.
Right. Yeah, right.
I mean, that's if Palestinians don't exist, then you can't be charged with killing them, right?
Right.
Hey, man, I don't feel so good, man.
What's wrong with you?
I'm embarrassed to tell you. I'm just going to tell you, I ain't took a shit in like 2 weeks, man.
Ain't you taking your OH, your optimal human?
I thought we ran out of it.
Man, here, take this. Here's some right here. Take it. Get it up in you. Drink that. Get that probiotics. Mm. That artichoke.
That is good.
That apple powder. All those essential nutrients that get your intestines right. Yeah, get them intestines right. Get it all up in you.
Mm.
Swallow it. There you go. Why are you drinking it like it's Kool-Aid or something?
Just well, you here. Made it with cold water. I'm over here getting brain freeze.
What's good with cold water? It's like a smoothie.
Oh, man, I feel something move. Oh, man.
Go to optimalhuman.com/Hawks Twins and now try Optimal Human for free today.
Hey, back in your young days when you was with the Klan, like, were you, like, ever, like, sexually attracted to black women?
No, I never was.
No?
I was always partial to white girls, and I just love the way white girls are. They look, they just answer my soul. They're like, you know, they're like my parents and my grandparents and great-grandparents. And I think that's normal, though, by the way. I don't think that's abnormal.
Yeah, some men are attracted to men. Some women are attracted to women.
Not this one, I can tell you that. I don't think you guys are either.
Like, I've been attracted to all women. Yeah. Like, my first marriage was a black woman, and I was like, yeah, I never do that shit again. So I married a Latina. Right. My wife is a Latina. But I've been like, I'm sexually attracted to all of them.
Well, I understand.
Yeah.
And there's different, you know, points of view.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a problem, but this is a limited degree, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And, one of the heads of National Front in France I knew very well. I knew Jean-Marie Le Pen very well, too. Mm-hmm. I knew Solzhenitsyn, like I said, the anti-communist leader in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got my PhD in Ukraine. And,
really?
And now I'm, you know, it's hard to believe it. I've talked to the family members of students of mine that are now dead because of this insane genocide. And like I said earlier, the Jews who run Ukraine, Zelensky, and again, Kolomoisky, who was the financier of, who also stole $5 billion from the Ukrainian people, they didn't care about the Ukrainians. The Jews are only 0.3% of the country, but they're the controllers of media, the controllers of the banks.
In Ukraine, huh?
And, yeah, in Ukraine. And they also, and the reason why Ukraine has been so poverty-stricken and had so much problems is because they didn't have the benefit of a Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Putin came in and cleaned up the corruption.
Right.
The oligarchs were stealing the country of Russia right out from under them.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Putin, you're saying Putin is just defending his people, his border.
Yeah, well, this is what's so weird, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I think we basically have a Christian country here, whether you're Christian or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with people. You know, I respect people. You can be Christian. You could be a Norse person, whatever. I'm a Christian. This is my heritage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's my values. But it's like, this is a Christian country. And if you go to any bookstore or you just turn on the movies, you see so many movies that really just rip Christianity and even rip Christ.
Right.
You know, Passover plot and all this other stuff kind of thing. And it's like saying that Christ didn't die. He was just in a drug stupor or something, right? But, I mean, that's offensive to Christians. And if you look at the people writing the books, like I read a book by Jews that were talking about how this whole crucifixion was faked and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that if you really look at the New Testament, again, I think, I don't know if I told you this earlier, I also was on Jake's program earlier. Again, another plug for Jake.
Yeah,
I know you love Jake.
Big fan of Jake Shields.
He's friends of you guys too.
Yeah.
He said, "Well, you got to meet these guys. They're great guys."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "I will."
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you look at the New Testament, right? If you read the major newspaper of Israel, one of the most prestigious is the Jerusalem Post, one of the most famous of all. And there's an article in the Jerusalem Post, perfect example. And the name of the article is written by Shmuley, I think, Botich. I think it's the same one that promotes the genocide. You know, the Jew who sells dildos, He's a rabbi.
And is that the same one that was attacking Candace Owens?
Yeah, same one that was attacking Candace. And he wrote an article, you know, is the New Testament anti-Semitic? And the answer is yes. They hate the New Testament. There's a book called Jesus in the Talmud by the former head of Judaic Studies at Princeton. As you can see, I am an academic. I do have a PhD. I study history, and I know these things. And that's what we got to get more of the knowledge out. But the people don't know these things because we get a popular media that's controlled by, can I dare say it? No. But
just call them the puppet masters.
It's like Theo Vaughn said the other thing. Why do these Jews hate white people? And Joe Rogan says, he says, that's not true. And he says, why do you say that? And Theo Vaughn said, well, that's what my Jewish friends in Hollywood tell me.
Well, why? I don't understand why left-leaning media, which is mostly Jewish, are calling people white supremacists, dude.
Jewish. Did you say that?
Yeah, I just don't understand.
Left-wing media is mostly Jewish?
I mean, according to my Jewish friends, it is, you know? But why do they hate white guys?
It's just woke things, man. It's just virtue woke bullshit. It's like the
I just don't understand it.
Well, because it's true.
Let me.
Is it woke bullshit? Like Rogan says?
Of course not. It's absolutely. Look, the six biggest media corporations on the planet, right, are AT&T, run by Stanky, Zionist Jew. You can look up his biography on many things. You can look at Alphabet. Again, this is the most powerful media corporation. 80% of the search engines, if you look up a person's name, or an ideology, or a political group, or a religious group, anything you look up goes to Wikipedia, or if you're going to use an encyclopedia. Wikipedia is run by a guy that was given a $1 million prize in Israel who says he's an open, dedicated Zionist, supporter of Israel.
That's a lot of party controlled information that you read.
The Encyclopedia of the World. There's literally hundreds of millions, tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of searches and so forth. And then again, they can tell you to the rent. You know, my website, they're actually putting me back in a little bit in terms of where they tell what my website is, because it became so obvious to people. I've been pointing this out for years. But you just look up David Duke. So they send you to 20 different sites, ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, all this stuff, right?
Right.
And you couldn't even find my website because they don't want people to actually. I think if this, your broadcast here, and I think you're probably going to get millions of views on this one. If people listened to what I was saying and they checked out what I was saying and they just thought about some of these issues, I think the average person would agree. Mm-hmm. With what I've been talking about here, about any of these subjects.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This Ukraine war is insane. Right. And by the way, the Ukraine war did not start by the Russian invasion. It started by the Jewish State Department takeover, along with the Jews of Ukraine, of the Ukrainian government. They did a coup. They deposed the legally elected government of the country.
Right.
And then they started shelling, bombing. I'm talking about artillery, massive shelling of Eastern Ukrainians. People of Russian descent. And if you look at Wikipedia, even Wikipedia, you know how many people die in eastern Ukraine from the attacks of from Kyiv and from the Jewish country that really Ukraine has become in terms of the controllers? 14,000. 14,000. That was – and by the way, eastern Ukraine really had no military. Then they had a few militia. They were trying. All they asked for was a degree of autonomy because they didn't like to be discriminated against. And by the way, the original Ukrainian language is the same as Russian.
Yeah, right.
It was Kievan Rus. It was part of the Slavic Empire. And they brought Christianity there. And so what is Putin? Well, he's not a communist. And people like Putin, Russians overthrew communism, right? They take down the entire Warsaw Pact, right?
Yeah.
They take down the Iron Curtain over Europe. Right. They say all these countries can go free. We're now free. We are going to get rid of communism. We're going to get rid of the hammer and sickle, and we're going to
take the USSR anymore.
Right. We are Russia. You know, the Jewish elite hated Russia so much and the Russian people. And you still see this hate all the time. Russian atrocities, Russian this, Russian evil, Russian campaign interference. Campaign interference? Look at the 18 of the 20 biggest contributors to Clinton. 8 of 9 of the biggest contributors to Biden.
Right.
You know the biggest fundraising in the history of America in one meeting in California, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like 95% Jews, right?
Right.
And you look at and by the way, to show you even the controlled opposition. In fact, the Jews, Lenin said this at one point. He said, even the controlled opposition is ridiculous because they'll say stuff like, it's the military-industrial complex. Well, you know what? Of the 20th contributors to Hillary Clinton, none of them were weapons manufacturers. None of them.
That's just a term they use to talk about Jews.
Some of them might have some investments there, but none of them were. They were Wall Street bankers and hedge fund operators, which are basically thieves. Mm-hmm. They manipulate the market massively.
Right.
They get inside information, and then they trade on it with information you don't have. And the average investor pays the price of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So this is the realities. And I know this is overwhelming for a lot of people to say, but you can't talk about politics without understanding Jewish power. And this shouldn't be allowed. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, the Citizens United, they can give anything they want because money is power. Right. We're supposed to have one man, one vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about women voting now, but just joking. But
you think women should be able to vote?
I don't have any problem with women voting, but you can't have women voting or any group voting or even, you know, you've got to have people voting who are
objective.
Objective and who are not propagandized.
Right.
Right.
That's the problem women have, I think.
And this is what's happened to, you know, what's happened to people in this country. Like we talked about the slave trade earlier, right? So the slave trade is something that Jewish books boast about. Mm-hmm. A Jewish Publication Society. I have a whole chapter on that in my book.
Well, they funded it, right?
They ran it. And they brag about running it in their own history books. I was telling you about Encyclopedia Britannica, right? Jacob Marcus.
Yeah.
And so that was the worst aspect of slavery. There's another interesting part in one of the Jewish historical writers, and he pointed out that in America, in the United States of America, 40% of Jewish households own black slaves.
Wow.
40% of Jewish households. In other words, Jewish households and Jewish homes, they own black slaves. Now,
what was the percentage of white people in America when it was a big thing?
1%.
1%. Wow.
And wow. Even,
but that's still pointing the finger at you.
In the South, it was a little over 1%. Very
only
little
the rich people had slaves, though. So the 1%. Yeah.
But this is 40%. I'm quoting to you. I'm not saying something that somebody wrote about Jews. Mm-hmm. I'm quoting Jewish historians about Jews. And that's why they want to suppress me. That's why I'm not on Twitter. The ADL came out and said the number one target to get off Twitter and social media was David Duke. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing was that back then, that was long before Musk got it. Mm-hmm. But Musk didn't restore me, right?
Right.
He didn't dare. However, he went against the ADL. He tried to say he wanted to sue them, how they were trying to destroy him. And they also demanded Tucker to be fired. Tucker was a cash cow.
Still got fired.
Yeah, I still got fired because one thing you can't do in America, you know, people often say.
He pissed off the Zionist, Tucker?
Yes. And the main reason he pissed them off was because he started going against their wars. He over the last few years, he said the Iraq war was unnecessary. It was based on lies. He started looking at the deep state, you know. Now, these were all part of that Jewish agenda, that we should be spending money on Americans, not overseas. Put America first, like Trump promised.
Right.
And so he became an enemy. He also was talking about the great replacement theory. It's not a great replacement theory. It's a great replacement fact. It's happened.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Right? There's never been a country.
Even blacks have been replaced. We used to be number two in this country.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. Even blacks have been replaced. That's a really good point. I never thought of it in that way, but that's true.
Yeah, like this past election when Trump won, black people actually pissed off that like 52% of Latino men voted for Trump. And now they're trying to boycott the Latinos.
Like, y'all, the poorest demographic in the country, it's not going to work.
Good point. So, you know, this is the, and it's the ultimate supremacism.
Right. And I think the problem most Americans have is they don't know their history.
Well, of course they don't know it because the history is not being written by our friends.
Right.
Or by our enemies.
It's written by
like,
the winners.
Like Neil Gabler said in The Empire of Their Own, if they know the history, it's like, oh, yeah, it's the movies.
Yeah, the media's narrative goes away.
The movies. That movies are going to give us the history, right? Mm-hmm. Like Black KKK Klansmen.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, the Klan was – David Duke's Klan was going to go blow up and kill a black, young, beautiful black young leader, civil mm-hmm. rights leader.
Mm-hmm. And he had that in his movie.
This is in the movie. This is in the movie. And the bombs went off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people were arrested. And also the cowardly Klansmen sent in, this very obese woman,
mm-hmm.
to go plant the bomb because they were so cowardly. These were all NORAD people, by the way, these right. NORAD guys, soldiers mm-hmm. and so forth, and which are clean records. And the interesting thing is the book was written by Ron Stallworth. He was a black police officer, and it was about the idea that he infiltrated the Klan because he joined the correspondence thing of Klan. He,
mm-hmm.
You got to go – if you want to be active in the Klan itself, you got to go join, and you take an oath of allegiance to the Christianity and to the mm-hmm. Constitution and to nonviolence. Mm-hmm. That was part of the oath.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so then you read the book by Stallworth, and on all these shows they went on, they said this was a true story, right? True mm-hmm. story. Well, let me tell you something. First of all, there was no Jewish officer who was treated badly like the guy that infiltrated the Klan and pretended to be an infiltrator mm-hmm. for the police department. There was no Jewish officer because the Jews – the screenplay won an Academy Award. Talk about winning an award, right?
Right.
For the screenplay. And the screenplay was exactly the opposite of Ron Stallworth's book, Black KKK Klansmen, because in the book, the actual group he did infiltrate himself personally mm-hmm. was the Progressive Labor Party, which, by the way, was a very Jewish organization, mm-hmm. like so many communist groups have been, right?
Right.
And so he infiltrates there, and he's got them. He quotes them in the book of saying that they were determined to crack my skull, to kill me or anybody else that prevented them from cracking my skull. I mean, so the only plot was to keep and to block my freedom of speech. Right. There was no Klan plot. Mm-hmm. And again, anybody out there, go do Google searches, go to the newspapers of Colorado Springs. There never was a bomb that went off. There was never a black civil rights worker. There was never, a Jewish infiltrator of the Ku Klux Klan, the hero.
Yeah.
One of the heroes.
Well, Spike Lee's a liar, so
he is a liar, but also it's just – and then they win an award for making up these lies. And, mm-hmm. and here's the idea. Like I said earlier, we got the First Amendment and we got the Sixth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
How can anybody judge anybody without giving them
right.
the right to speak for themselves?
Right.
And
they kill you with the in the court of public opinion instead.
And I thank you for doing that. Now, yes, I love my people. I love mm-hmm. my heritage. Mm-hmm. I want to preserve it. Mm-hmm. I love the traditions of America. I think it's mm-hmm. a very honorable country overall. Some mm-hmm. mistakes were made, right? But the truth is that Israel is not an apartheid state. You know that. Right. It's a genocidal state.
Yes. Right.
And the interesting thing is apartheid in Africa was done by Verwoerd, right? Mm-hmm. And again, whites came down there. And by the way, the land was mostly vacant then. This is not like Palestine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blacks poured into South Africa because there were so much jobs, so much opportunity. Mm-hmm. They had great universities there. Mm-hmm. They had the best mm-hmm. medical care in all of Africa. Mm-hmm. And the South Africans were working diligently to actually this area of South to give them their own homelands, mm-hmm. tribal homelands, and rule themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That was apartheid. It was like apartheid was basically a two-state solution.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where blacks mm-hmm. ran their area, the whites in their area ran their own area.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of like Sweden has a canton system.
Mm-hmm.
And Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And even another good example of that is northern Italy. Again, I know Northern Italy well. I lived in Europe for 10 years. And Northern Italy was actually, in Northern Italy, we had the Germanic part. It was part of Austria at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitler wanted peace between Germany and Italy. And so he let the Italians take control over what's called the north part of the Italian nation. And that was the sous Tirol, basically. And but the interesting thing was, so after the war, when everything collapsed, these people were saying, look, we want some degree of autonomy. We want to be in Italy. We'll be part of Italy if that's what they want. This were almost all German speakers and German heritage. Mm-hmm. And they said, but we just want the right to have our kids learn our language,
mm-hmm.
to have not be discriminated against in public employment, in the post office, and in the government positions, right?
Right.
And guess what? The United Nations actually helped them, and they were granted autonomy. Mm-hmm. You know, they were still part of Italy,
mm-hmm.
and proud Italians, but they had – and you go into North Italy, and you get, you know, you get Italian words, of course, too, but you get German language, too. Mm-hmm. You get – kids can study their German heritage in their schools.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just like kind of Austria, but it's Northern Italy. Mm-hmm. It's like this is what you call real freedom.
Right.
This is what the Declaration of Independence was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you think Trump's going to be able to make America great again in his second term?
You think he can bring peace to Middle East and Ukraine?
I don't know.
That's why I voted for him.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And I voted for him and I helped him. You know, the Forbes magazine said that my endorsement of him early on in the early campaign 2016 mm-hmm. was the biggest single factor that led him to getting the Republican Party. If you look at recent articles in the last year mm-hmm. in Harper's, in New Yorker, in Vanity Fair, and the new book called Against the Clockwork,
mm-hmm.
or the Clock Broken Clock, they all say that the whole Republican conservative, but you're kind of a conservative yourself. You're kind of a Trumpian.
Yeah.
Make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what they do? What they say? That the guy that started all this was David Duke in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, as a Republican, I ran, and I unseated the sitting Republican governor,
mm-hmm.
who, instead of being a good Republican, was raising our taxes,
mm-hmm.
getting rid of our homestead exemption.
Mm-hmm.
So people would be taxed out of their homes. And I was talking about things like affirmative action, which nobody else had the guts to talk about in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, unless we stop this immigration, it was going to be bad news for all the American people, mm-hmm. blacks, whites, everybody else that's in the country.
Mm-hmm. It's before your time, David.
Well, maybe it was. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe but I'll be like
all
a
those
Mandela.
Things that you brought up way back then. Everything's coming to fruition right now.
But that's what people always tell me every day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was Trump before Trump. And by the way, mm-hmm. Trump did the Larry King show and many other shows. Mm-hmm. And he went on major media. This is the time when I was running. And I ran in some Republican primaries for president. They wouldn't let me in the debates.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, of course they wouldn't. Because right. let me tell you, I can debate every good as Donald mm-hmm. Trump. You can judge by this broadcast a little bit. I mm-hmm. think you could. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't let me in debates, but still, like in places like South Carolina, I got 7-8%, which was more than Jeb Bush got, spending $35 million, and I spent $100,000. Right? It's like, but and Donald Trump said that if you listen to David Duke, I mean, he's going to get a lot of votes because he's saying things that people want to hear, and you look at all of his platform, right? He said no more foreign wars.
Mm-hmm.
He was against the Iraq war.
Mm-hmm.
He said we're going to abolish NATO. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's changed, unfortunately, right?
Right. Yeah.
He told us he was going to build a wall, and that never got done. But again,
he might have the power to do it now. We got the House and the Senate.
He does, but the problem is whether or not. And here's the problem I see. And listen, I want to embrace Donald Trump again,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we need something, and maybe it's unlikely. But he's got to we got to understand something. The reason why we lost the America of our forefathers and our traditions and our rights and all these things, including the massive ethnic change in our country, the diminution of black people.
Yeah.
And the diminution of, and a lot of Mexicans that lived in this country, by the way, long before this massive illegal immigration, they were part of this country even from the time that Texas got its independence.
Right.
They weren't kicked out of the country either, by the way.
Right.
And they became Americans like anybody else. And by the way, Spanish descent is great. I love the Spanish descent of Europeans. I love all. There's a lot of diversity among Europeans.
Right.
So there's a, you know, so it's like all these things happened, right, from one driving force. I've got I do a show. It's a live show every day on the radio. It's on rinseradio.com. You can find it. You can go to my website, David.
They let you on the radio, huh?
Well, it's on the internet, and we have a lot of listeners around the world, and you can find it at davidduke.com. You can find a lot of links. And my site has thousands of articles I've written over the years.
Okay.
And I've also been defending Palestine for my whole entire, even before I was an adult. I mean, from the time I was 15, 16 years old. Because, and I'll tell you something. And I hope that every Palestinian listens to this program realizes what I'm saying right now. I really believe that not only Palestinians should be thankful for people rising up as they did in Gaza against this evil force, this murderous, genocidal force, and trying to take their country back. They did a service for the European peoples and a service for the entire world. Because I do believe the greatest threat to all of humanity is Jewish supremacy, Jewish supremacism. That's who's behind the globalism. That's who's behind the critical so-called race theory, the critical gender theory.
Yeah.
You know, that's trying to cut off the organs of our children.
It's part of that religion. It almost feels like, David, like they've built this infrastructure to manipulate the entire world. Like you, like here in America, you got Democrats and you got Republicans. But it feels like to me, the more I come aware of what's going on, it's like you got this script. You're going to distract America while we run the world.
Well, and what they've done is that they've exposed, and look, in my book, Jewish Supremacy, and Jewish Supremacism is the name of it. And in my book, I have three chapters on Israel. It's a great book. You're going to enjoy it. I'm going to give you a copy of it today before I go, and I'll sign it for you if you like.
Okay.
I'll be honored to.
Yeah.
And I'll be waiting for your books to come out.
Okay.
But,
okay.
And but anyway, so if you read this book, I predicted all this. I said, here's the issue. To make it real clear what my position on Jews, I'll just make it clear, very clear. And I think that I've justified this. I am not condemning all Jews.
Right.
By saying this, I am condemning these radical Jewish racist supremacists. And they are controlling the Jewish people just like they're controlling the American people and the European people and much of the world. They've inflicted incredible wars. I mean, the genocide going on against Palestine, they've been doing genocides on Europeans long before this, and they've done genocides in many other peoples as well. Just read. You know,
They funded the Civil War in America, right? On both sides.
Well, they funded. Yeah, there were lots of bankers, and the Rothschilds were the biggest, really, banking institutions of the world for many, many decades and many, many centuries, actually. And the Rothschilds are famous, and they write books about the Rothschilds, right? And there's a good book on the Rothschilds and how they literally took over a lot of Great Britain by this fraud. What they did was is that when Napoleon was fighting at Waterloo against the British, and so they had this scheme. They have lots of schemes. I mean, by the way, the Epstein spy ring was a scheme.
Right.
It's like Ari Menashe, who was one of the
Epstein. He was Jewish, huh?
Yep. He was super Jew, man.
Epstein.
But
that's why the whole list never came out
Epstein. All right. Was a big Zionist, supporter of Zionism. He was in partnership with Baruch, the former head of Israel. My God, he was giving them, you know, Goyim girls to molest, right? And so Epstein was part of that. Dershowitz was his attorney. the biggest advocate for Zionist Israel right, in the world, mm-hmm. right? Ari Menashe was the member of the Israeli intelligence directorate, right? Mm-hmm. Ari Menashe was the handler for Ghislaine Maxwell's father, who was the most famous spy in Israeli history.
Wow.
And when he died, all the six leaders of the Mossad were at the funeral, you know, and celebrating the guy, right? This was, and by the way, Maxwell's name wasn't Maxwell. It was like Bayard, Atlanta, some big Jewish guy, right?
Right, yeah.
And he was a media mogul, too, and that's exactly how they control us, too, by the media mogul. And
so the Epstein client list never coming out, huh? Too many Jews involved?
Well, it's not, well, yeah, and they, and also, they want to be able to blackmail these people.
Yeah.
I mean, if they've got, I don't know if they got tapes on Trump. I hope to God they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know why Trump, see, Trump got to know. I mean, the people behind, mm-hmm. people understand that the impeachment of Trump mm-hmm. was all bullshit. The whole right. thing about Russian collusion, even the investigation by Mueller mm-hmm. showed it wasn't true. Correct?
Right. Right.
I don't think I'm getting too technical for you.
No, no, no.
I think all the young people, too, are following what we're talking about here.
Yeah, even a Democrat can understand.
So Epstein, the whole spy ring, was based on, and Ari Menashe said it, it was the ultimate blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you're a Jew and you want to control, say, the royal family,
right?
You know, you get the royal family mixed up and get them filmed because they filmed everything. Right. In fact, even the spy mansion in New York was done by Wexner.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. Or the mega group, mm-hmm. it was Victoria's Secret guy. He was given a $62 million mansion. It was called a James Bond style mansion. Every room was bugged, right?
Wow.
And by the way, he had a big painting on the wall as
Bill
you walk into the mansion of Bill Clinton in a cum stained blue dress. I mean, this is
that's crazy.
Stuff. Yeah.
I'm sorry to use that word, but.
No, that's totally fine. Cum stained, totally. Yeah.
But you know, I mean, because and if that was some sort of that was a symbolic idea. And Clinton was another one of these big kind of Jewish presidents.
Mm-hmm.
I published in my book, Jewish Supremacists, a list of all the ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think you're getting ambassadors from Israel. They're all
right.
Jewish mm-hmm. Zionists loyal to Israel, mm-hmm. but they're ambassadors for America.
Mm-hmm.
And now Trump apparently appointed Huckabee to be the ambassador to Israel.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's stupid to have a person loyal to Israel and supporting genocide of Israel.
Right.
When you have an ambassador, you should be representing your country's interests
right.
overseas.
Right.
Not the country that you're going to represent.
Right.
That you're going to be an ambassador to.
Right.
You're supposed to be fighting for the interest of America.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Trump knows. I mean, Trump's got to know. Who led the impeachment? Well, it was we can just go through it really easily, right? We had Schiff and the Intelligence Committee. Now, here we had a Jew, loyalty to a foreign country, mm-hmm. head of our intelligence, right?
Right.
then we have another guy who was leading the impeachment, Engel. And here's a Jew, head of the Foreign Relations Committee, to make sure that Israel gets all of our tax money, right?
Right.
And fights our wars, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And then you had the head of the judiciary. Boy, that's a good, accurate name. That's a good name for it, the judiciary, right? And now, of course, we have the Biden administration, and you look at it, you know, of the most classic appointments, by the way, in the Biden cabinet were Jews. He had two different chiefs of staff, you know, and the first chief of staff got the original appointments, and then the second was Zients, who was the COVID czar. And like I said, COVID czar was a great Jewish coup because mm-hmm. the Jewish big pharma made money, mm-hmm. the Jewish media made money,
mm-hmm.
and they bankrupted half of the – you know, anytime they weaken us and they increase the billionaires' power,
right. mm-hmm.
they see that as an advantage to them.
Hey, but where can people find you? You got to
– Yeah, they yeah. can – well, you know what? They can – if they have the courage and they have the stick it to this, they can send me some snail mail.
Yeah.
Right? And they can write me at David Duke, and my address is Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
70470.
How do you spell that, Mandeville?
M-A-N-D-E.
Okay.
V-I-L-L-E, Louisiana, 70470. Okay. And 70470, that's my box. And you can also go to my website,
mm-hmm.
And you can see my books there. You can see 1,000 articles. And you can look up all these subjects. You can search it mm-hmm. by doing a Google search and to do a site search.
Mm-hmm.
And I have thousands of articles that I've written over the years. And I get everything I write is documented. My books, My Awakening is my autobiography. We're out of print right now. We're going to do an update. Mm-hmm. But right now that book's got, 1,200 citations, footnotes. It's an mm-hmm. academic cited book.
Yeah, we got a gift for you. You probably don't need it. It's like a gag gift.
Okay.
It's the N-word pass.
N-word pass.
Put your hood up, David.
Well, I'll never
put your hood up and show the camera.
Hey, go ahead and put your hood on, David.
Well, let me tell you something. I get the right camera. One thing's for sure.
Listen, you want to put your hood up?
I won't need this pass
right.
because I never use it anymore. Now, are you right. telling me I should start? So we'll just have to figure this
right,
out.
Right. No, you don't have to use it.
Okay. Yeah. But thank you. Anyway.
Just let the black people use it in their music.
And I enjoyed coming out to see you, and thanks for
thank you.
Thanks for bringing me out and giving me a chance to defend myself. And and actually, when I'm defending myself, I believe I'm defending all the American people and all the people of the world against the greatest threat. Bazarian was right.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for coming.